a lot of things happening. God said he'd shake the nations. And they're shaking even in our country right now. Because he's shaking out corruption right now. And as he's shaking out corruption, he wants to set in. And he said, once again, I'll shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and dry lands. Don't be moved by the shaking. He goes, because the treasures of all nations will then come into my house. Amen. When God shakes it up and gets it set, then he'll bring the treasures into the house. Amen. And there's a good thing that's going on right now. It's a really good thing. Glory to God. Let's give him glory. Hallelujah. I don't know if you know this. I always had this dream from the beginning. I try to make this happen more than 10 times. To have a community of leaders in this body that would minister in a state of harmony together in the different offices and the different functions and the different operations of God, but everybody flowing seamlessly together. So much happening now. God's just bringing up more and more leaders together. No one voice will be able to carry what's happening. I never wanted that. Some guys won't share anything. I never wanted that whole responsibility. It wasn't made for that. I was made to have a community core of leaders together, working together. And it took a long time for that, because I just thought if someone was anointed, I'd put them in here. As soon as I found someone anointed, I'd just stick them in, and I didn't know what I was doing. And you plant the right person at the wrong time, you'll have trouble. You plant the wrong person at any time, and you'll have trouble. Amen? But when God plants them, when God separates and says they're ready, when you see that, it'll flow together. Amen? It'll grow together. Amen? And it was always supposed to be apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, helps, governments, diversity, things. It was always supposed to flow. All the offices flowing together. Look at your neighbor, say, together. Praise the Lord. We've been in this seven inheritances, and I'm like, I have not been to get off of this. And I just landed in it, and I'm like, Lord, what are you doing with this? Seven inheritance. Now, we've taught this before, but it's not like, I mean, now you're on it, you know. A lot of times when God teaches something, he's laying a foundation in there. It's meant to lay the foundation. He just had me back into this Revelation chapter 5 because I want you to look a little deeper. We looked into the Lord in creation possessed dunamis creative power, and he and the Holy Spirit at the command of the Father created the known world. They created it, but they created with creative dunamis power. The Lord always possessed creative dunamis power. And he gave man dominion. And he said, be fruitful, increase, and have dominion. And all of that was lost. And we looked into the covenant of Abraham. And when God swore to Abraham, he was actually re-swearing in that Genesis 1 blessing to be fruitful and multiply and have dominion in the earth. He was swearing that back in because man lost it. God said, all right, I'll come through man. I'll come through the seed of man. I'll take not upon myself the natures of an angels, but I'll take myself upon myself the nature of Abraham. And he goes, I'm coming in as a man. So he swears to his son in Abraham's loins, and he re-swears the blessing that he gave to man in Genesis 1. That's why he had to swear. It was more than a promise, because it was a promise had been conditional. He goes, this is more than a promise. I swear that I'll do this, because I can swear by the greater. I'll swear that I'll do this. So he swears in by an oath to his own son that I'm going to reestablish the Genesis 1 blessing, the Genesis 1 dominion. And we saw where the Lord re-inherited it all on our behalf. Amen. He inherited it on our behalf. He already had it in the beginning. So all that he received for us as joint heirs. And he made us equal to him in that inheritance because he inherited for us. Really powerful teaching. I encourage you to get that. What did we call that, Cody? Sworn to multiply the dominion. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So today, we're going to go back to Revelation chapter 5 again. I want to look into this. Let's look again at verse 12 for a moment. He said, with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb, say worthy is the Lamb, to receive, I like the way he writes this, to receive power and riches. Actually, that word for riches is actually wealth. It's more to do with wealth. There's a difference between riches and wealth. You understand that? Well, let me say it this. There's a difference between wealth and the blessing. You can be blessed but not be wealthy. Amen? This is wealth. Say, this is wealth. Enduring wealth. Wisdom. Strength. That strength is the spirit of might. That's the spirit of might. Oh, somebody got that. Praise God. Les got that. Praise God. It's a spirit of might. Say the spirit of might. That wisdom is not just wisdom. It's omniscience. It's all. It's the seven spirits. It's actually the seven eyes of the Lord. That level of wisdom is the seven eyes of the Lord to see, to know, to understand light. The kind of light that you can see 10 miles in front of you in the spirit. You can see what the enemy's doing. It means a wisdom of you not stumble anymore. Amen? It means a wisdom that you're in front of your enemies that you can't see, but now you can see. It's an omniscience. Amen? Glory to God forever. I think these are in order, too, in the fact that he inherited it. And it's, I said, well, why here? Why right here in chapter 5? Omniscience, strength, honor, glory, and blessings. These are some amazing, because this first one, we've been in several services now, dunamis. When he said, where this land to receive dunamis, he inherited dunamis. That's the first outpouring. When they were waiting in the upper room, the very first thing the Holy Spirit brought with him, he said, you shall be anointed with the Holy Ghost and dunamis. He's bringing dunamis. He's bringing the very creative building block of God, and the Holy Spirit poured that out upon the church. The first thing he released upon the church was dunamis. Amen? Say dunamis. Dunamis. And so these seven inheritances, there's something happening right now with these seven inheritances. Holy Spirit's really lighting them up. And I wanted to know, what's going on here, Lord? He said, well, read this like you know how to read it. He actually said it like this. He says, meditate this like you know how to meditate. I'm like, okay. He says, meditate like you know how to meditate. That means go back, go forward, read it, ponder it, meditate, sit, listen, wait until you get the download. And these two verses connected, and then it just went, phew. I said, I see. Look at your neighbor and said, I see. Praise God. So notice verse 12. Put your finger in verse 12. It says, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. That's not the first time he said that. Every time when you're looking at laws of meditation, you want to find something because he's building on something he already said. And you don't have to back up very far this time. Look at verse 6. And beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb. Say, stood a lamb that had been what? Slain. Look at verse 12. Worthy is that lamb that was slain. And there stood a lamb that was what? Slain. Having what? Seven horns, seven eyes. Say, seven horns. Seven eyes. Now the horns in the book of Revelation speaks of kings and kingdoms. The Antichrist was also described as a horn, but every time the book of Revelation speaks of horns, it's speaking about ruling authority of a king. Seven horns is the perfection of the kingly authority of Christ and the seven eyes. This time, what was upon the Lord when he was worthy as the Lamb that was slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, there was two different operations resting upon him. There was a king, the perfection of a kingly anointing, and the seven eyes was the perfection of the priestly anointing. Both of these were resting upon him. And then he goes on to say, these are what? The seven spirits of God. Notice what he says. These are the seven spirits of God sent forth into what? All the earth. Now, that's not the first time he spoke about that, because in chapter 4, John was called up. Let's just go back to chapter 4 for a minute. Review a little bit so I can get where I'm going. Hallelujah. Look at Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was a trumpet talking with me and said, come up hither, and I'll show you things to come hereafter. So John is going to look into whatever he's looking into, the whole book of Revelation, he's looking into something that was going to happen beyond his time. Amen. He goes, I'm going to show you, John, something that's happening hereafter. So he looks up and he starts describing what he sees. And now we're in that time of the hereafter. Look at your neighbor and say, we're in the hereafter. We are here. It's been after and we're here. Amen. Say, we in. He was looking into our time. He was looking into what's coming and what's about to happen. And he's seeing all in a prophetic mystery. And notice what 5, just for the sake of time, look at verse 5, things he's looking at. He goes, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices. And there were what? 7 lamps of fire, 7 torches, the golden lampstand, the same one of Zechariah 4, by the way, that Zechariah 4, Zerubbabel was called to bring forth the headstone, the final stone. There's a foundation stone and there's a final stone. He was called to bring the headstone. We are the headstone generation. We are not the foundation stone generation. That was the early church. We are the latter rain church. We are the headstone. The final stone is going to be set in the church in this generation. Look at your neighbor and say, the final stone. The final stone. The headstone, God's gonna crown, say crown. We're in the season of the crown. He's gonna crown the church with a headstone. There's a crowning, amen? There's a crowning, and in the crown is the full restoration of what we call the kingly anointing. And with that kingly anointing is going to come dunamis, and with it's going to become wealth. And all of this has been prophesied. All of this is in divine order, and all of this is on us in this generation, in this time that we're living in. Amen. So he sees the 7 lamps and 7 torches burning before the throne. And notice what he says, these are the what? 7 spirits of God. Now, the Holy Spirit is referred to in the book of Revelation as the 7 spirits of God. We see this all the way backing up to Genesis chapter 1 in the greetings. Just look at it real quick. I mean, not Genesis, Revelation 1. Just look in the greetings so you'll understand what he means by 7 spirits of God. You have to understand the imagery of the book of Revelation to get the revelation. You have to have the imagery and the wording. Amen. The Holy Spirit's been, I mean, he's got a lot of it. He's the Holy Ghost. Amen. But here, he's the 7 spirits of God. Notice in verse 4 of Revelation chapter 1, says, John to the 7 churches, which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him, which is, which was, and which is to come. That's the Father. Are you breathing? And from what? These are greetings from the 7 spirits of God that are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the Godhead, sending you greetings. From him who was, who is, and is to come, that's Father, 7 spirits of God, that's Holy Ghost, and the Lord Jesus. They're sending greetings, amen? So there, when you see the 7 spirits of God, you're seeing a representation of the Holy Spirit, amen? So John sees this in chapter 4, he sees 7 lamps burning. He said, these are the 7 spirits of God that you're looking at. 7 lamps burning, the golden lampstand burning. You're looking at the final light, John, of humanity. You're looking at the golden lampstand that was prophesied in the book of Zechariah, but it's about to come to pass in another generation. See, God is reiterating his promise for a final generation and, on top of that, a final move of God. Amen? A final move of God that we are in that generation. I tell people all the time, I said, watch what's going on in the news right now, because it's all prophetic. The shakings are prophetic. It's all getting ready to shake out so God will shake in. He's shaking it out so he can plant it in. He's getting ready to plant the kingdom of God in the earth. Amen. Glory to God. He's got a hive. If those of you don't understand, there's been a lot of corruption in the financial system, and God's not going to send a global wealth transference in the middle of a corrupt financial system, so he has to clean some things out. Amen. Booyah. And he's doing it.
Amen.
Look at it as a good thing. Hallelujah. Praise God. So John, go back to chapter 4. He said, come over here, I'm going to show you. And he sees this lamp burning, these seven torches burning. He says, these are the seven spirits of God. It's the first time he recognizes he sees seven lamps. Now what he's going to do in chapter 5, he's going to see the same seven lamps, but he's going to see the two different offices in the seven lamps. Or the two different operations of the lamps. Because, go to chapter 5. Praise the Lord. It's kind of amazing. He keeps doing seven. Seven lamps, seven eyes, seven horns. Which equals what? Seven inheritances. So verse 6. Revelation chapter 5 verse 6. And behold, in the midst of the throne and the four beasts in the midst of the elders stood a lamb that had been slain. And that lamb stood up and these elders were saying, worthy is the lamb to have received for this generation, for this time, power and wealth and omniscient wisdom and strength and might. And honor and glory and blessing, he's received the inheritances. They're shouting that because it's on him. They were looking and John said, there's no one worthy to take the book. And the Lamb stands up. He says, I'm worthy to take the book, the final book. I'm worthy to open the final book and break the seals. I am the one worthy to commission what's about to happen. Who's your name? Say, commission. And he wasn't alone. The Father had set upon him seven horns of perfection, the perfection of the kingly anointing, and seven eyes, the perfection of the priestly anointing. Both offices were set upon him. Amen. They were both resting upon him. But notice what John says. Read this again now. And behold, in the midst of the throne, the four beasts, verse 6, in the midst of the elders, and stood a lamb that had been what? Slain, worthy is a lamb that was what? Slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are what? What are they? Which are what? The seven spirits of God. Notice what else he said. Sent forth, say what? In all the earth. What did he say about the seven spirits of God in chapter 4? What did he say? He said, come up here there, I'm going to show you something that is to come. He sees a lampstand, but chapter 5, he sees it as seven horns, seven eyes, the Holy Ghost resting above the Lord, and these seven spirits of God are going to be unleashed into the earth. And the elders are collecting bowls of prayers, 24 elders collecting vials and bowls of prayers from the saints all over the world that are synced up, hooked up. And they're collecting the bowls, and they're collecting, and they're bringing it up before the throne as incense. Said, Father, do it, do it. And the Father sets the seven spirits of God upon the Lord, and the Lamb receives the final outpouring from the Father. The Father gave the Lamb the final outpouring. He set it upon the Lamb and said, now you are commissioned to commission. You are commissioned to commission. That's why he will commission, because the Father set it on him. You got to understand what's going on. You have to understand what's going on. There's a final commissioning. It's like Acts 2 being poured out, except Acts 2 was some serious oomph. There's something else being poured out. Acts 2, the power was poured out. God is going to pour it out again. And the Lamb stood up and said, I'm the one worthy to receive it, Father. I am the one where they receive the final light, the final outpouring. And God sets the seven horns and the seven eyes upon him, both the fullness of both offices on him, the fullness of the priestly office and the fullness of the kingly office. And he sets it upon him and he goes, now these will be sent forth in all the earth. The elders know what's going on, and there are saints in the earth that know what's going on, like you and I. And they're collecting the prayers. They're collecting it, intercessors. He's collecting the prayers. They're collecting up the prayers and offering the Father and said, let it be. Say, let it be. Let it be. And the elders begin. They begin to collect the prayers and then they begin to say, worthy now is the Lamb. Oh, watch this. Oh! Verse 7. And they came and what? Took the book out of what? The right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Where is this book? It's in the right hand. Where are these seals going to be loosed? Out of the right hand of God. Whew. And when they had taken the book and the four beasts and the 20 elders fell down before the Lamb, every one of them having harps and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song saying, Thou art worthy. Say, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals. You were slain and you've redeemed us to God by the blood. By the blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. So these people are redeemed. All right? See, there's one level is redemption. But the second level is ruling and reigning. Amen? Listen, we are not a people called to come down this altar and get saved every weekend. We are way beyond that, saints. We have been redeemed. We have been moved from sinners to sons out from the world, translated out of darkness into his marvelous light. No longer orphans. I didn't leave you an orphan. We're not a fatherless people anymore. We're not acting like fatherless people. We are secure in who we are because we've been fathered in God the Father. Amen. Moving us now to joint heirship. This is a chapter for the joint heirs. Because there's something coming on the joint heirs. It's not just going to rest on him. When it comes off of him, it's going to look like seven inheritances. When it gets on you, it's going to be seven inheritances. It's seven horns and seven eyes on him. But when it gets on you, it's going to be seven inheritances. Look at this. Verse 10. Bible scholars do not know what to do. To this day, I have not found a Bible scholar yet that knows what to do with this verse. Because they think this whole book is just tribulation book. Tribulation don't start till chapter 6. All between chapter 6, verse 2 and before, this is God's book. This is church. Amen. This is a church, the final church age move of God. Hallelujah. Notice what I said. They've been made. We've been made what? Verse 10. We've been made unto our God, kings and priests. Kings and priests, seven horns, seven eyes. We've been made kings and priests. And what? And what? We shall reign now in the earth. Say reign. They don't know how to reconcile that because in the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation said the saints were given over to the Antichrist. He was given authority over the saints. And in the tribulation time, there is, you're going to have the witnesses, but the Antichrist will have the power in the earth. He'll be given power over the saints. But here, what? We're called to what? Rule and reign. Rule and reign, because there is a season and we're on it. Oh, we've been carrying this for like 4 or 5 years. I'm like, Lord, we got at the gate a little too soon. He goes, no, you had to come and, you know, learn, see it. I say, well, you could have told me I was 5 years in front of you. You know, he goes, no, it doesn't do that though. When God gives it to you, you think it's going to come tomorrow. But right now, if you're watching the prophetic events of the nations, if you're watching what's going on, if you're seeing what's going on, God is getting ready. He's getting everything ready. He's shifting the political systems. He's about to massively shift the financial system. He's going to put his wealth into the hands of his people in this hour. And it's going to be great wealth. That's why he said, worthy is the Lamb to receive what? Dunamis, creative power. See, we have something the early church didn't get. They didn't get a wealth transference. They got power, but they were a suffering church. And I think it was Church of Smyrna. They were a church that suffered. But they overcame all adversity. We are a church that's going to rule and reign. Not only are we going to have the dunamis, say the dunamis. What's the first thing in here? But Mike said something to me the other day. He goes, man, I know something is telling me these things are in divine order. There was an order to these inheritances, and there is. The power is reinstated to the church. Dunamis, creative power. Everything he utilizes, every creative miracle ever done is done through creative dunamis power. all of that is fully restored upon this final church. Amen. As we rule and reign. But there's also, what's the second? Wealth. See, wealth. But it's not just power and wealth. It's power, wealth, and omniscient wisdom. Say wisdom. It's going to be a church that's walking in greater light than any other time in human history. We will be walking in supernatural light, wisdom, and the administration of light. It's just like the Lord walked in. There's nothing He didn't know. He always knew. He could finish people's sentences for them. He knew what was going on. He knew traps that were set before Him because He was walking in light. All of these inheritances are going to rest upon a bridal company of believers in this last hour. That's why they said, worthy is the Lamb. It's on Him. That's what the elders said. It's on Him now. It's on Him. It's on Him. They were waiting for this. They were waiting for the final move. It's on Him. It's on Him. The Father has crowned Him with seven horns. The Father's crowned Him with seven eyes. He's been crowned with the final move of God. He is worthy to release it into the earth. He's worthy to release it. That's what God was doing, was crowning Him with the final move of God. That's why He said, now the kings and priests will reign in the earth, because it's on Him. It's on our high priest. It's on our king. He's wearing the mantle of the last days. The God has adorned Him, crowned Him. He's carrying it. It's on Him. Said the kings and priests will now reign in the earth. Worthy. Get it, get it, get it. It's the Lamb. Listen, He had all of this. He had it in creation before you were ever born. Before Adam was ever made, He had dunamis, creative power. All that He received is on the behalf of His final church. It was for His first church, and now for this generation, the final church. The final church age. He has received a fresh mantle, double portion from the Father. Say, double portion. Chuck brought this out when Zerubbabel said, grace, grace under the mountain. There's grace for the kingly mountains and there's grace for the priestly mountains. Because He's wearing both offices now. Both offices are fully upon Him now. And both offices are about to be fully upon the church. We have never seen a church age. We've seen Joseph's, we've seen Daniel's, but we have never seen a full church age where God crowns an entire priesthood with a kingly anointing. And suddenly, millions of priests have become kings overnight. Amen! We've never seen that! Where God sets His power and His wealth in the hands of all of His people. A bridal company of people. Watch what happens in the nations. Watch as God's body goes forth in the last days. In the eradication of hunger. In the eradication of child slavery. You're going to see God move in so many dimensions, in so many areas. Because it's on Him and it's going to be on us. It all started when He pulled Abraham and said, Abraham, I swear, because I swear by the greater, I swear to my seed and blessing, I will bless him. I will swear this Genesis 1 dominion back upon him. This Genesis 1 increase, this Genesis 1 multiplication, I'll swear it back in. Now he's wearing it. Amen. More fruit will be born in this final hour. Listen to me. More fruit will be born in 7 years that is coming than 700 that preceded it. More fruit. We are living in a generation where low-hanging fruit, it doesn't matter if God's not fulfilled any part of our vision whatsoever, because when it all comes, bam, 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 bam. Say, bam, 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 bam. Because He hasn't opened the book yet. When He opens the book, nobody's going to stop it. What do you think the rider's going to be carrying, wearing? He's going to be wearing the seven inheritances, adorned with the same anointing that's upon the Lamb. The Lamb's going to take that anointing, those seven horns of authority and the seven eyes of omniscience, and He's going to set it on His church in the form of seven inheritances. And we're going to walk in the fullness of seven inheritances, dunamis. You could build an international ministry with dunamis alone. But dunamis wealth, omniscient wisdom, and the spirit of might. Glory to God. Honor, glory, and blessing. The elders knew what was going on, but there was a people in the earth knew what was going on too. We see. Look at your neighbor and say, I see. Now you're getting an idea of why he's back on this. Why there's this stirring of the seven inheritors. I didn't understand. I said, what are you doing? Because we're entering in the season that God's about to take those mantles upon the Lord and set them upon us. He's going to take those mantles. He's going to set those seven inheritances upon us. And that's what we're going to wear when we run. That is our mantle. Because he received it on our behalf. The elders have been waiting. They knew there would be a generation like this. There's no time to fear. Glory to God. But here's another thing. When God opens that book, it's on. It is on. And when he opens that book, God is going to anoint prophets and apostles to bear witness of it. I'm telling you. He's not going to open a book like that and not tell the world. The book's been opened. Amen. Isn't it awesome to have the light? There's something about this last day church, about this writer of the last day church. Go to chapter 6. I might as well just jump in. Praise God. I jump in. It's kind of amazing if you start meditating, let the Holy Ghost get on you, the dunamis, full restoration of creative dunamis power operating in 100-fold glory. That means when sickness walks into the door, it's gone. It falls off. That means the creative miracles of God operating in a first world country with wealth. Almost utterly unheard of to have those two mantles operating together in fullness. You can have one or the other, but to have them both in fullness, and God's about to put the whole thing on a whole church. Not just a little church, a global church. He's going to unload the seven horns and the seven eyes, and it's going to be unloaded as the seven inheritances of God. And we're going to be adorned. Say adorned. And then we're going to ride. Say ride. We are in season. We are in season right now for the crowning. We're in season now. Look at your neighbor and say, we're in season. We're in hour. We're in minute by minute right now. That's why he's all over the seven inheritances right now. I'm like, now I know why you're on it. Man, I'm like, now I know why you're on this. I said, Lord, help me teach this because there's so much imagery with all this. It's hard when you never heard it before. How many of you are getting it? You getting it? Look at your name and say, I'm getting it. Praise God. Look at chapter 6. So he goes into chapter 6. Now, these are the four horses of the apocalypse. And they come out in successive order here. But when he opens the book, the seals, what happens? I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts saying, come and see. Now, this is about to happen here, my friends. This first seal is about to open. The crowning of the church will open the first seal. And I know you, a lot of end time eschatology people, I get all this, and you've been taught a certain way, and you know, nobody's going to ever teach me no other way, because, you know, I heard it this way for 30 years. But this first white horse is the Antichrist. Well, the Antichrist, in his first 3.5 years, he's a man of peace. And it says this guy was going forth conquering to conquer. You can't have it both ways. He says, I behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given. Say, given. The Antichrist takes. God gives. The crown was what? Given. And he went forth what? Conquering to conquer. I'll tell you how God sealed it for me, knowing that this horse wasn't a part of the other three destructive horses. Verse 8 sealed it for me completely. Because what he did, he described the red horse, black horse, pale horse. And then he described their functions in verse 8. And when he described their functions in verse 8, the white horse's function was not listed as a destructive function. He wasn't even listed at all. Look at verse 8. I'm really not going here. I just want you to know this. I'm really wanting to focus more on the white horse. And it says, verse 8, and I looked, say, I looked. And behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat upon him was death, and hell followed him. Power was given what? Unto what? Them, say them. Over a fourth part of the earth, to kill with a sword the red horse, with hunger the black horse, and with death the pale horse, and with the beast of the earth, not one mention of the function of the white horse. He's not a destructive horse. He is the horse that God's going to ride with his people. Amen. And the seven inheritances of God are going to be on it, and we're going to be crowned. Say crown. Say crown. Say crowned. Crown. That book, I'm telling you right now, prophetically, is about to open. That book is about to happen, and the very first thing that's going to happen is God is going to take his priesthood, and he's going to set him on a king's throne, and he's going to crown him with a kingly anointing. He's going to take his church, just like he did in Zechariah chapter 6, prophetically, all the prophecies of Zechariah. Right now, Zechariah 5 is in full motion right now. If you haven't heard Carlos's revelation on Zechariah 5, you need to hear it. Zechariah 4 was talking about the final stone. Zechariah 5 was God cleaning the house. Zechariah 6, the crowning of the priesthood. It's all successive in order. All the way to Zechariah 10, where the rivers get broken out. Half to the Dead Sea, half to the Great Sea. Half to the Sea of Commerce, half to the Sea of the World. The lost. All Zechariah prophecies are about to go kaboom. Say kaboom. Then that generation was so prophetic. None of their prophecies were filled because we are the generation. Say we are the generation. Say we are. Right now we are in Zechariah 5. God is cleaning the house. Amen. We're Zechariah 6, the crowning of the priesthood, which is what? Revelation chapter 3. Amen. It crowns the priesthood. Zechariah 6 describes it. Revelation chapter 3, Church of Philadelphia. He says, to him that has what? The key. Say the key to the house of David. See, he's bringing the kingly element into the church now. He says, I'm going to open this house to you. And I'm going to open the door to this house for you as a church, as a priesthood, and no one's going to shut it. He even talks about, now you want to hear this, because it's happening right now. To him that knows, to him that knoweth, it's happening. Go to Revelation chapter 3 then. We're in Zechariah 5, getting ready for Revelation chapter 3. Zechariah 6, Revelation chapter 3 are all the same event. The crowning of the priesthood. He that has the key of the house of David, see, he's waited. We know the Church of Philadelphia is a final day church. How do we know that? He says, because you've kept my word, I'll keep you from the hour of temptation coming upon the whole world to try them on the face of the earth. We know it was a church that preceded the tribulation age. But what did he say about the church? You're not going in. If you want to go in, you can go in. But I'm Church of Philadelphia and I'm not going in. I'm going up. Everyone say, I'm going up. But we got a job to do. But it's going to be the easiest thing we've ever done, ever. Because the Lord has already received in the right hand of God the mantle for our last day move. It's sitting in the right hand of God. And as soon as the books open, that whole mantle and the seven inheritances of God are going to fall upon us. And it's going to be on. We're not going to ride in a powerless state. He's not going to put us on that horse until he puts the seven inheritances upon us. And the first inheritance is power. The second one is wealth. The third one is wisdom. He's putting that on us. He's not going to ask us to go ride until he puts that on us. And he already has it on him. We're waiting right now for the opening of the book. We want this to happen. We can't wait for it to happen. Why? Because when he opens that book, he crowns the priesthood. Worthy is the Lamb to receive what? Power and wealth. Seven horns. Was it a crown given to him with what? Seven what? Horns of kingly perfection. He takes this church and crowns it. Amen? Now, I'm going to go for this today, so I hope you come back. I'm going to go for it. Amen? I'm just feeling the need to go for it. Praise God. I jump in. Revelation 3, verse 7. I can't believe we tied all this in. I wasn't even going to go here. And he's like, he opened all this up. He says, what do you think the seven inheritances are? He goes, that's what's resting upon me. That's what I'm going to give to you. That's what you're going to ride with. There's no generation that has ever seen what God is about to do. He told Rick Joyner when he called him up to heaven, told him, there's going to be no move of God like this one. Because all moves of God combined will all be combined in one great one in the last days. He goes, see that you keep that mantle of humility on, because that's going to be the hardest thing ever. Why? Because God's about to give the two greatest forces on the planet that people kill over, which is power and wealth. And he's going to give it to his church. Crown his priesthood with a house of David, which is a kingly house. And he's going to set that kingly anointing upon us. The angel of the church of Philadelphia, the angel's the messenger. It's not an angel, it's a messenger. To the messengers of the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that's holy, he that's true, he that has what? The key. He's got the key. He's got the key, and he's the one that's going to open the book. He's got the key to the house of David. What's the house of David? It's a kingly house. What's coming out of that? Power and wealth. He's holding the key. He openeth, no man shutteth. He shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I've set before thee an open door. No man can shut it. For thou hast had little strength, but what? You kept my word. Huge key right there. You've not denied my name. Behold, I will make them. People don't understand this verse right here. This is the one I want to jump in. Should I do it? You got to be in the know to understand what this verse means. Amen? Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. You have to understand what he's saying there. He's about to open the kingly house of David. But there are people right now ruling elitist families that come from the Jewish bloodline, but they are not Jews. They serve the synagogue of Satan and everything they do. Most people have no idea the manipulation, the blood of innocent people that have been slain because of what they do and the manipulation of the global money supplies. People that are ruling with this, their whole system is about to get toppled. God is going to open a door. When he crowns his priesthood, they're going to have to let go of something they have been seriously trying to hang on to. Because there is a global event coming. A global wealth transference of monumental portion. It cannot be understood. And that system right now, they are holding it back, but they are going to have to let it go. And when they do, their system's going to have to bow down to God. And the Lord's going to make this happen. And the shaking of the nations, it's the same thing that's going on right now. And Haggai, once again, I'll shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and dry lands, and all the treasures of all nations will come into my house. And my house will be filled with glory. And the glory of the latter-day house will be greater than the former. That has not happened to this date. It's going to happen before the return of the Lord Jesus. God is going to crown his people with the wealth of David's house and with dunamis and with the seven inheritances. And he's going to put them on that white horse and they are going to run. We are going to run. Right now we have been seers, but we're going to get to shift from seers to doers. Amen. We've been seeing for a long time. I was like, God, I want to ride. I just don't want to see. I want to ride. I love to see, but I got to do. I don't want to do out of my own strength. I want to do with you. If you're going to do the do with you. Do it with him. Amen. I want to ride. Get me ready. He told me something that shook me to the core. He said, you cannot ride this horse without those seven inheritances. You cannot ride it. All that will ride this horse will be adorned with those seven inheritances. They will wear the crown that I give them. That's why he told the church of Philadelphia, let no man take your crown. No other church was given a crown. One was promised the church of Smyrna, if they suffered to the end and died for their faith, they would be given one in the afterlife. This one was given in the earth. They were crowned in the earth. They were the Zechariah 6 priesthood that got crowned. I am telling you, with every prophetic fiber of my being, apostolic, prophetic, whatever, we are in this season now. This is our year. Oh, it's shaking. Watch what's going on. Be aware. When you're watching the shakings going on, be aware that God is shaking out to set in the proper leadership so this can be facilitated. You don't understand, all the wealth of the world is controlled through our country in ways you can't imagine. Until God gets that set, then he'll cause the system to bow. And that's why it's being fought right now. Isaiah 22. Shebna's getting fired. He's firing. Shebna was over the house, and God called Shebna because his pride. Never before we've seen such pride. Firing of Shebna. Set in the Eliakim. Amen. We're living in this time. Glory to God. Right now, we're in Zechariah 5. We were talking to you about this at the turn of the year, and Carlos was sitting in that chair. Start talking about Zechariah 5, and you are watching it happen, and it's coming. More is coming now. And we want it to happen. We want God to clean it up so the white horse can run. God is setting a covering, a political covering over this white horse so he can run into the nations. And you have to understand what he's doing. Whew. Quiet in this Presbyterian church. This prophetic apostolic church. Father, that's why he said, now you really understand. Father, by yourself you have sworn that in blessing I am an heir. You will bless me. By yourself you have sworn that in multiplying, you will multiply Christ in us. In blessing, you will adorn us with the seven inheritances. And in multiplying, you will multiply these inheritances into every nation of the earth. You have sworn, Father. Christ has received it. The first level has been accomplished. We are about to receive the second level. Amen. God swore to two people in Abraham that day. He swore to Christ. And he swore to Christ's seed. He said, he saith not the seed is of many, but thy seed is one. He fulfilled it in Christ. The second level, we were there too, because he said, if you be Christ, you're Abraham's seed, and you're heirs of that promise. You can say it like this, you're heir of that swearing. He swore to you. He's going to do it. God is going to do this. Why? Because he swore that he would do this. He swore he's going to put this on us. No other generations had it like this. They all had different parts of it. God's putting all of it on one company. A bridal global company of believers. He's going to put all of it on them. Say all of it. We don't know what all that's going to look like. But it's going to flow to the Dead Sea. And everything that's dead is going to live. It's going to flow to the Sea of Commerce. And the wealth of the seas will be converted. Oh, the glory. Say, oh, the glory. That's why the elders got so excited. Said the kings and priests will now reign in the earth. They will reign in the earth. It's going to be, not going to be a long-lived reign. Don't think you're going to be here for 100 years. This is going to be a run. It's going to be a fast run. But more is going to get done because we're in the social media age. God's going to use social media. We're in the social media age where when this thing starts running, lightning fast. Isn't that glorious? Now, let's culminate this. Put your hand over your heart. Father, you swore to me that day in Abraham's loins, because I am of Christ. I am Abraham's seed, and I am an heir. You swore that in blessing, you would bless me. And in multiplying, you would multiply me. You swore the dominion. You restored it. It's resting upon Christ. You swore that it would rest upon me. I receive this day the seven inheritances. Grant us forerunner mantles. Amen.